section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, what's in the news this month?
Yeah, so sadly, there were a number of wrestlers who had passed away over the past few weeks, and one that we missed from the previous month. But Chavo Guerrero Sr., Jimmy Snuka, George the Animal Steel, Ivan Koloff, and Nicole Bass had all passed away, which is, you know, unfortunate. Some of them were a little bit up there in age, but, you know, a couple of them, Nicole in particular, you know, she was a little bit younger. And it's always sad whenever a number of wrestlers pass away.
Yeah, it sure is sad. I sent you guys that Chavo Guerrero passed away earlier, then nothing was said for a few minutes because I was figuring, no, he couldn't have. And then, of course, he was senior. But yeah, it's unfortunate to have so many people pass away. I mean, Aaron, were you the one who sent the site wrestlingdeaths.com?
Yeah, I was taking a look because I was looking to see if I missed anybody, and I found this one website, and it listed wrestlers and the age that they were when they passed, and some of them, you know, were incredibly young. In particular, I didn't realize how young Yokozuna was. He was 34 years old, and that's just, you know, I'm 34 now, so that was just kind of like, whoa, that's pretty close. But it's very sad whenever any wrestler passes away, and just wanted to at least give him a little bit of acknowledgement here.
All right, so let's talk Raw. Roger, Goldberg and Kevin Owens has definitely happened at Fastlane. Do you think that they built this up properly at all, or is this just kind of like there?
No, I think this is a mistake. This is the type of match I think that, considering how limited Goldberg's appearances are, I think you could have certainly done something to tease a little bit of animosity between the two of them. They didn't have to interact before this, but they could have had a tease at the Royal Rumble. They could have had a tease over at Roadblock. Like, you know, just have Owens and Jericho mention how Goldberg is, you know, oh, I could have beat Lesnar quicker or something like that, so that when Goldberg confronts him, isn't just some random, like, why is Goldberg running out on Raw to confront Owens, and why does he randomly get a title shot? So I'm not particularly looking forward to this other than to see if Owens can last longer than Lesnar did at Survivor Series. Other than that, I don't really think this match is going to be all that good. Now, if Owens can make this match good, more power to him, but I doubt it.
I'm a little interested to see how this one's going to go, just because of the fact that I love how Kevin Owens, I think, put a great promo on this last Raw, saying that he knows how to play the game better than anyone. Obviously hinting maybe to the entrance or the talk that him and Triple H had before the travesty that happened on Raw. I know. Unfortunately, we're going to have to acknowledge it, but KO did turn on Jericho. But
moment of silence. We all please acknowledge the death of the best friends, the true big wrestling tragedy over the past week.
Yeah.
Doug, do you think it was too early for Kevin Owens to turn on Jericho?
No, I actually kind of like this. I like this KO a lot better than I've liked the KO of recent. Kevin Owens I think he's better as standalone. This is kind of giving him, I hate to say it, but he's about to legitimately have a belt title because of Jericho has interfered in every single match that he's had. So he's never been able to defend the title really one-on-one and had a good match where he put somebody, you know, they put him up against him and he defends it truly and gives him that bump up to a higher status that he should get, because he's a great talker, he's a great wrestler, he's an awesome all-around wrestler. So him without Jericho, I think, is going to turn his career a lot more higher and better things for him coming up. It's just unfortunate that he's running into the problem of, let's put him against Goldberg so that we can make the Goldberg-Lesnar match at WrestleMania be bigger. So I want something to happen. I want KO to retain, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and I agree with Doug. I don't know if KO will retain, but I do want to say the opening segment for Raw, I believe was a must see. The way that it opened with Kevin Owens just sitting there staring into the camera, which is something WWE does not do. They, you know, when they film stuff, they specifically do it so you're talking to the crowd, you're not talking to the camera, because it's a show about wrestling, not a wrestling show, you know, whatever dumb logic that they use for that. But it just felt so like he's sitting there and he's discussing like how he is going to dismantle Goldberg, and he knows how to take him out. And then when he even mentions Jericho, he doesn't even talk about it. He just drops the mic and walks away, which made me like just go, wow, I can't wait to watch next week now. I can't wait to watch Kevin Owens segment next week, actually, is what I should say, because the rest of Raw was, you know, not nearly as good as it could have been. But I think that Kevin Owens is actually on a much better trajectory right now. And if they take the title off of him, especially if they do it in the wrong way, I think that it could be really detrimental to the buildup that he's had over this past couple of weeks with him turning on Jericho.
Aaron, what are the odds that definitely Goldberg does defeat Kevin Owens at Fastlane? What are the odds?
I have it at like a 75%, 75-25 right now is what I would say. I think that if I were putting odds on it, I would say Goldberg has a really high chance of doing it. But WWE may swerve us a little bit and decide that Owens still needs to keep the title. But I don't think that that's going to happen, because, you know, they like to have a huge marquee match for that championship. And in my opinion, Goldberg versus Lesnar is a huge marquee match for them, not necessarily for us wrestling fans.
One thing I would add to this, to kind of what Aaron was talking about, is that Owens, to me, has always been a heel who we loved and we cheered, despite him being a bad guy. But for the first time, when he turned on Jericho and kind of robbed us of KO Y2J, I was legitimately like, I hate you. Like, I cannot believe you took this away from me. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I think it's fantastic that he's now getting real good heat, and he's kind of turning back into that sadistic, uncaring, very, you know, emotionally just, I would do whatever it takes to retain my championship. We saw it when he turned on Sami Zayn. We kind of saw it when he came up and bombed Cena in the apron, and we see it with Jericho. And I don't think that he beats Goldberg. I would agree with Aaron's odds. I'd probably say it's 20 to maybe 15% that he retains. I think the only chance we have is Brock Lesnar saying no, like he's going to interfere. He F5s Goldberg, and then Owens falls on top, because, you know, they want to keep the idea of Owens can only win by interference. And Owens Jericho needs the title, in my opinion, far more than Goldberg Lesnar does. I mean, that match will sell regardless of what's on the line. So, you know, to me, that is the better matchup. But even if it's just for the United States Championship, they now have enough of a feud that that match could go either way. But Owens is probably going to get legitimate heel heat for maybe the first time since he won the Universal Championship, partially based on who he's been faced. I mean, anytime you go against Roman Reigns, you're going to get cheered, because most people don't like Roman. And against Seth Rollins, it was more or less like a dual chant. Let's go, Seth. Let's go, Kevin. Now, I think when Jericho returns, whenever he makes his big return, be it at Fastlane or be it after, we're going to be going crazy for Jericho, and we're going to want him to get revenge. And I think that's a great thing. A job well done. The rest of Raw, not so much, but the Owens-Jericho feud, job well done.
Now, Doug, with Goldberg being a part-timer in this situation, do you think that they would actually put the strap on him and then let him have it, and then going to WrestleMania and actually beat Brock? Because I'm pretty sure that's what this is leading up to, is that he's going to face Brock for the title, but I don't think Brock could actually, you know, beat him for it, because the title would be off TV. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's what they're going to do, is, and I was trying to think about ways that they could do it otherwise, to, because it almost seems too predictable that Goldberg's going to beat KO for the title, and then he'll have to drop it to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. The other option, the only other option that I could even come up with, is Goldberg wins at WrestleMania and decides that there is nothing else, there's no one else to face, leaves the belt in the ring and walks off into the sunset.
So vacant becomes a two-time champion already?
That's right.
Wow.
Or what if Finn Balor comes out and challenges him the night afterwards and says, I want the title? And then Finn beats
him. Well, then you're going to have something. What's the pay-per-view after WrestleMania is going to be SmackDown, though?
No, it's Raw, payback? Actually. No, it's going to be Raw. And then,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
But Fastlane is Raw, so it's going to be Raw dual Raw?
Yeah, okay. I can pull up the schedule here in just a second, but the way it looked like it was going to be a Raw pay-per-view and then a SmackDown pay-per-view, like a week or 2 weeks after the fact.
Because no Elimination Chamber in June. Yeah.
Isn't Money in the Bank also SmackDown?
That is SmackDown, yes.
Huh. Okay.
And I can't wait for that one.
It looks like its payback is on the 30th. At least that's what I'm seeing on my calendar.
Yeah, it's the 30th, and that's Raw. It's going to be Raw, and then Backlash will be in May, and that's going to be in Chicago. And then
Extreme Rules.
Then they'll have Extreme Rules June 4th is what it has so far. But it's going to be at
and then June 18th is SmackDown Money in the Bank.
Which doesn't this now you're like, oh crap, there's all this time where there's no pay-per-views, and then all of a sudden you're like, bam, 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 like one way or the other. And that's,
I mean, I thought to add on to what you're saying, I mean, we had Elimination Chamber, and I know the Super Bowl is not a pay-per-view, but it's obviously a mega event in America. So you had the Royal Rumble, you had the Super Bowl, and then you had Elimination Chamber, and we were talking about it, and it was like, is Chamber this week? I mean, it just, when you have so many pay-per-views, they get lost in the shuffle, right? You're just like, oh, I think there's a pay-per-view this week. I looked forward to the Rumble. I was excited and like looking, circled on my calendar, whereas like Chamber happened. I was like, oh, I guess Elimination Chamber is this week, whatever. You know, it's going to be the same thing with Payback.
For the most part, I mean, it was I definitely same thing. Royal Rumble was circled on the calendar. Next is WrestleMania. And really, that's it. You know, obviously the NXT
then Money special, in the Bank,
you know, and then Money in the Bank, because whatever they're doing in May or June, you know, whatever crappy pay-per-views they're throwing in there are going to be completely useless. And they're just throwaways. And then after Money in the Bank, I don't know what's in July, but August, SummerSlam. And then
it's July.
Yeah, and then, you know, September, it's rumored we'll have a pay-per-view out here in Seattle. We'll see if that's the case. If it is, then obviously my September one will be circled. If not, though, I mean, what are we looking at? Maybe Hell in a Cell, maybe TLC, Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. I mean, they'll have the inner brand. I'd like the Raw versus SmackDown match. That'll be something to look forward to.
And Survivor Series this year wasn't that bad compared to...
No, it wasn't.
So...
Now, Aaron, what do you think about LeBron? I mean, Braun Strowman going against Roman Reigns at Fastlane. Okay, a little backstory. Someone had a picture of LeBron James, and they put Strowman's face on it. That's why it's LeBron.
LeBron. I like that. That's good. Are you saying Strowman is a big flopper? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Yes, big flopper.
I think that WWE has actually built up Strowman very, very well over the past year. I think that they've put him in the right type of program, and having him split off from the Wyatts was one of the smartest things that they could have done. And he did the squash matches in the correct way, not in the Ryback way. So they've done a very good job of building him up. I believe that his match against Roman Reigns, even if Roman Reigns is going on to face Undertaker at WrestleMania, I honestly would probably have Strowman win here. And I'm not saying that because I don't like Roman. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying storyline wise, if you want to have a monster, and I mean somebody that whoever takes him down, it's a bigger deal. Having him defeat Roman Reigns will make him look like $1 million. At this point in time, I probably have a 60-40 split of Roman winning, a legit win, not a like, you know, count out or draw or, you know, if we're talking straight up like win, like pin. I would say probably 60 Roman, 40 Strowman, but I believe that'd be a smart move to have Strowman win.
Do you have it? Does he go over clean? Or does,
I'm sorry?
Does he go over clean, or does Undertaker's gong hit or belt?
I don't think Undertaker wouldn't interfere. That's not his style. You know, he doesn't go for the match. They have to come to him sort of thing. So I don't believe that Undertaker would hit. I think that it would be, you know, you could have a distraction. It could be something, you know, the club he's been having issues with, so they could come and distract him. And then Strowman, you know, is able to pick up the win. So it's like kind of distracting, but it's not a full on one. But yeah, that's what I would probably do.
I think, I mean, I concur with Aaron 100%. And again, it's not really because of any anti-Roman sentiment. It's more or less you've built Braun so well, in my opinion, that Roman is going to WrestleMania and going to be in a high-profile match and probably go over Undertaker, which will be a massive, you know, kind of push. why not let Strowman say that, like, yeah, you're the guy who beat The Undertaker. I'm the guy who beat you. Like, let Braun Strowman be that guy in the background. Because to me, and this is kind of segueing from our previous point, if Goldberg wins the title, I can tell you the next two champions, because it's going to be Goldberg and then Brock Lesnar, and then Roman Reigns is going to be the one to beat Brock Lesnar. So Roman is going to capture the championship, which means Braun Strowman is a great person to then step up and say, hey, I'm the last guy to beat you on pay-per-view. You owe me a title shot. I was already owed a title shot in Kevin Owens. You know, you screwed me out of that title shot when I had Kevin Owens down. So now me and you face at whatever pay-per-view, and you can do a series of three matches. You know, I beat you at Fastlane. You give me a title match in Night of Champions. It's a perfect way for Roman and Strowman to have a 2 to 3 month feud. Roman can finally overcome all the odds and beat the monster before he moves on to his next feud. I don't see anything that Roman needs to win going into Mania, though I will say this. I don't think Roman Reigns has a pay-per-view win since Hell in a Cell when he beat Rusev. So it would not surprise me, because if you think about it, Survivor Series, his team lost. And then at Roadblock, he got disqualified because Jericho hit the Codebreaker. At the Rumble, he lost. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if WWE is just going with the basic, we need Roman to look strong route. But to me, you need Strowman to look strong. So I say Braun should win, but I would have this 60-40. In favor of Roman Reigns, because it's Roman Reigns.
I was going to say that I'm going to go with, actually, I could see them highly, and everybody knows my love for Roman Reigns on this show. I'm actually excited for this match. I really am. And I think that this was actually even a quality of WrestleMania, that they've built this match up very well. Roman has done a great job in this one. Strowman's done a great job in this one. And I think this is WrestleMania caliber of a match. I hate that they're using it at Fastlane, and was very surprised that they were using it at Fastlane. So it would not surprise me if they do the whole double count out, and then, you know, WrestleMania or something, we have to have, or later down the road, they have to have another match to settle the score. Where it be no counts or no falls or false count anywhere, or no count out, no DQ or something along the lines. That wouldn't surprise me if they do something like that, where then they have Strowman technically walk out as a winner, but it ends the match in a draw. Like Strowman finishes him off by throwing him through the set or something, but it's a 10 count.
Yeah, I agree with Doug. I think that they could do something along those lines, and they may have that just because Undertaker didn't look the greatest at Royal Rumble, and so maybe they might be testing the waters here, and they could say, look, if Taker's not ready to go for WrestleMania, which he might not be, then they may do exactly what you said, Doug. You know, they may have some a little bit of tomfoolery, so that way their WrestleMania match is a, you know, hardcore or, you know, no holds barred, that sort of thing.
Hate to say it, but it's what, Nikki versus Natalia? Again. Let's just copy off that, where we have to have them do a that's
dark match at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So let's move on. We talked a lot about Ross. Let's move on to SmackDown. So they just had their pay-per-view Elimination Chamber. And of course, they actually changed the Elimination Chamber. And Aaron, what did you think about the new chamber?
I actually liked it quite a bit. The thing I didn't like about the last one, I really hated how they constantly talked about how the pods were bulletproof. I really hated I don't know why. That just, it's like, they're bulletproof. Who cares? Like, is there somebody with a gun there, like, that's going to be shooting at them or something? I don't, like,
Ryan Pillman.
Somebody test it out. Yeah. You know? I'm guessing not. And those things shattered when just a human body hit it. Like, that's not bulletproof. The other thing, too, that I don't know why, but when they show the top view and the light goes back and forth, they did this a lot of times where there's only one person left and they're like, oh, we know that such and such is coming out. And it goes through the whole motion. And it's like, what are you doing? Like we know who's coming out. Like you were so stupid. Like, we know who the sixth person is. They didn't do that. I actually liked how the pods were designed. There's a cool thing on WWE's YouTube account where they talked about the construction of it. I actually liked the set quite a bit. So set-wise was really good. And actually the match was really good, too. It was one of the best ones I can remember in recent memory. And maybe even one of the best ones that they've ever had, given the caliber of people that they had in that match.
So to me, this Elimination Chamber was pretty much a great microcosm of everything that I've enjoyed about SmackDown. This entire match made sense. All of their feuds had been tied together. If you look at all the eliminations, they all made sense from a storyline perspective. You know, one of the best things I thought was Corbin, who had just been really sick and tired of Miz running his mouth, getting so distracted when Miz had to come out. And Miz was like, I want no part of Corbin because I know he'll punch my lights out. And then Ambrose just rolls him up. It was a great way to just, he doesn't look weak. It looks like he got caught off guard. You know, I of course, I'm always going to enjoy Cena not going over and overcoming the odds. So I enjoyed Bray Wyatt pinning him cleanly with his sister Abigail. And then when it came down to Wyatt and Styles, even though they're both heels, the crowd was into it because they're both, you know, favorites of the fans. You know what? A great counter. I'm very happy for Bray. I've always enjoyed his character. He certainly worked his tail off for the past, I think, 4 years as his character. You know, I enjoyed both the set. I enjoyed the match. There are a couple spots maybe that I would have changed, but that's nitpicking. Personally, this is probably my top three Elimination Chambers of all time. A little bit partial myself to the one HBK won the title in, but I might be biased. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well booked. For only having 2 weeks, I thought they did a really good job.
I agree with a lot with what Roger said. The storyline telling of this match was wonderful. The setup for, you know, you're looking at Wyatt versus Miz in the Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania, maybe. Or not Miz, but Dean Ambrose. You have kind of a setup with Cena and The Miz and the way that they were looking for that. And I love how WWE went with the obvious. It was obvious, but it was well told. It was well told. It made sense. Everything. I'm looking forward to all the SmackDown matches at WrestleMania because the storylines made sense. They went with the obvious and it went ahead and everything went as planned. I agree with Roger also in the fact that Wyatt deserved a title. I think this is what his first major title besides the tag team titles, which I mean, when they took him off them, I was like, wow, he again gets rid of a good title. But the push that they're giving him, I enjoy thoroughly. The story behind Wyatt, I enjoy thoroughly. It also helps me enjoy the Royal Rumble a little bit more and the fact that Orton won. So everything's starting to tie up, and that's what you want with WrestleMania. All your feuds should tie up at WrestleMania. The Raw afterwards is what's supposed to set up for the full year. So very excited about it. I love the chamber itself. I know there was a lot of complaints that it's too safe because there's mats on the outside part. But you know what? Because it was so safe, people took big bumps. All the bumps that and spots that AJ Styles off the top of the pod, they had more room to jump off the top of the pod because it was a higher ceiling. Honestly, I would even put this chamber match as one of my top five matches so far this year. Not the top, but one of the top five.
I like what you pointed out that everything has been tied together, especially in the match. Everything made sense from everyone here. And the one thing I've actually been realizing more and more, it seems that Raw has not changed, but SmackDown has gone almost back to like the 80s, late 80s, early 90s mentality where you only had four pay-per-views a year, so you have a slow build. And it's just seemed like the whole thing with Orton and Bray has been slowly building up, and now it continues, and that gets into the fact that Orton does not want to face Wyatt. He said he just won't face him. So then what do they do, Aaron? They go to a battle royale, and what happens there?
Yeah, so kind of funny, but Harper and AJ both went out at quote-unquote the same time. And so now they're going to have they're going to do something then the following week to decide who it's going to be. My guess is that it's going to just be a back and forth. It'll either end up as a three-way or a four-way at WrestleMania. I'm kind of feeling that it might be a three-way where it'll be Harper, Orton, and Wyatt. And that's where you could have Orton win. He might, you know, pin Harper and get the title. Obviously, then that causes friction with him and Wyatt. I don't think AJ needs to be in that match. I think that don't get me wrong, love AJ and I love him with the title, but I don't think that's a match for AJ. I actually am kind of wondering if they're going to put AJ in to the IC title picture. I almost think that, you know, looking at what they're doing with the IC title, you know, I'm looking at Corbin, Ambrose, AJ, Ziggler, Miz, probably like Apollo Crews they'll throw in there, maybe Kalisto, and they'll just do another ladder match is what I think that they may end up doing for that. But as far as it goes for the WWE title, I think it'll probably be a triple threat is my guess.
That's interesting. And I guess I never really considered AJ going back to the IC picture because I think he's a bit above it right now. Not that I don't think he could transition to it and not have a problem with it, but I it would seem a little weird to me from going from basically a massive match with Cena to the IC ladder match, which to me is usually always a little bit thrown together. You know, NXT does this a lot where, you know, oh, we're doing a battle royal and then three guys hit the floor at the same time and now we'll do a triple threat, you know, because they like to stretch things out and, you know, do a bunch of tapings. I think this is going to be Luke Harper going over. I think AJ Styles is going to make him look like $1 million. So, you know, smart on WWE to say, hey, AJ, make Harper look like he belongs in the main event. I really like the idea of a Wyatt family triple threat. For one, I think it's a great way to kind of tie that feud together with, you know, because there's a lot of different ways it can go, right? It can be the very obvious Orton has destroyed the Wyatt family from within and now he's gotten what he wanted. It could be something like where Harper double crosses Wyatt and takes the title for himself. It could be Bray Wyatt being one step ahead of Orton and really him and Harper had this plan though. So I think it's very interesting as opposed to like just the very basic Orton versus Wyatt, which I think would be more predictable. So, you know, kudos to them for taking what I thought was kind of a boring storyline at first and turning Orton Wyatt to something that could be very interesting. And kind of like what Doug said, even though they went predictable at the chamber, it wasn't bad. It was good. I'm glad that Wyatt won. And I'm glad that, you know, I said last week, I think Harper is going to be the one who's the number one contender. And I think he will be, you know, next week. So I'm interested. You know, like you said, Raw has been stagnant. It's the same two guys fighting over the same thing week in and week out. Whereas, you know, SmackDown reminds me of the Attitude Era where guys would have 3 and 4 feuds. So, you know, you could kind of seamlessly go back and forth between, oh, I'm feuding with this guy. Now I got an issue with this guy and transition. And I think the show just flows better. Like you said, it's tight and SmackDown makes sense to me. Whereas, you know, Raw doesn't always make that much sense.
You said something about AJ Styles. I want to get back to you said that you think it might be him going down by going to the IC title. But if you remember in TNA, he actually would go for the world title. And then he'd go for the X Division title and then the tag title. And then he just kept doing it. And to me, I didn't mind that he did that because I felt that he was like that type of wrestler. And that's why I'm more curious on why you think that he shouldn't go and be in an IC title match.
Well, so I agree with you, and I actually like that. But much like Ring of Honor's television championship, like they used to have, or their pure wrestling championship, I never looked at the X Division as like a stepping stone title to the world championship because it was really a very different division. Like when you were the X Division champion up until Austin Aries created Plan C, you were kind of in your own little bubble. Like, it main evented, right? The Intercontinental Championship does not main event WWE, whereas Joe, Styles, and Daniels main evented a TNA pay-per-view fighting over the X Division Championship. You know, it had Ultimate X. It was treated as a top-tier championship. So when AJ would go, you know, I think Jeff Jarrett brought this up one time. He's like, why don't you go back to the X Division? And Styles immediately just said, because the X Division doesn't need me right now, the World Heavyweight Championship needs me to save it from you. So like, it was a very good, like, you can try to just pretend like the X Division is beneath you, but in reality, we're on the same level. As much as I enjoy what they've done with the IC Championship, it is in no way, shape, or form on the same level as the World Heavyweight Championship or the WWE Championship or whatever it's been called this week. So for AJ to... You know, for AJ to go from main eventing with Cena in what was a fantastic match at the Rumble to then being thrown in a 6-man ladder match when he's really not shown any interest in the Intercontinental Championship pretty much at all, to my knowledge, does seem like a step down to me. I'm not saying it would be a bad match. I'm not saying I would necessarily be disappointed. But to me, last year made more sense for AJ to be in this match than it does this year. Like, he's already established himself as the guy. I think he should be in either a high profile match or he should be fighting for the title, not necessarily the Intercontinental Championship, because SmackDown has guys who need the IC Championship, in my opinion.
And I agree with you, Roger. The reason I bring that up is just mostly because when I think about WrestleMania and you're constructing it, obviously the WWE title, the Universal title, both of those are going to be fought for. More than likely, you're probably going to have one of the women's titles on the main card and probably only one tag team title on the card, too. You might have an IC in the U.S., maybe. You never know. But then you have the other like marquee matches, you know, like Triple H versus Seth Rollins, you know, an Undertaker match, that sort of thing. And so when you do that, what happens is SmackDown is going to get the shaft, plain and simple. And so in my opinion, I think SmackDown will have the WWE title. They'll have the IC title probably. And then they'll have a tag team or women's. So they're really only going to have three matches on there, and the rest are going to go towards Raw. And in my opinion, I think that they'll probably throw AJ Styles into the IC title picture. He won't win the title, and he doesn't need that title, but he'll just get thrown in there just because. And I think that's throughout the WWE probably will go. Well, do you think that, Doug?
Well, I was going to say, being maybe Mark-ish off here, just the fact that they've been trying to set up a Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles, so that could be the one non-title match SmackDown gets. I don't want to see that. I want to see AJ Styles in a high-quality match. I know Roger mentioned this off show, but having somebody step up to be Shane McMahon's champion, and that person being, and I love this idea, Roger, Nakamura. Give us that five-star match that we saw at Wrestle Kingdom last year, and have it Nakamura versus AJ Styles fighting on behalf of Shane McMahon.
And I think it was the last show that I even mentioned my fantasy of like Daniel Bryan like coming out and being right. The one to wrestle. Obviously, Bryan's probably not cleared. So what a perfect example of, you know, do AJ Shane on SmackDown. AJ beats the crap out of Shane. Shane hits his couple spots. Bryan says, okay, you know what? I've got somebody who can handle you. And then you let Nakamura's music hit. Crowd goes wild. You've got an instant superstar. And yeah, five-star match like that. That can be the only marquee match for SmackDown. And I would say SmackDown's going to have the better WrestleMania.
Right.
And here's a great question is, Aaron, where do you put this on the card though? Do you put it at the beginning or do you put it towards the end?
Because a triple threat.
I'm saying if you had AJ Styles and Nakamura face off, let's just say that happens. Do you put it at the very beginning? So then everyone has to step up to that level, or do you put it towards the middle and then have like a women's match right afterwards, because then everyone's going to try and forget about it. Or WWE's going to try and get people to forget about the, you know, five-star match.
I would put it in the middle. Probably the beginning, I would do an IC ladder match. You have, of course, the WWE or Universal title end that, you know, that's been always what I feel it 9 times out of 10, it always ends a pay-per-view, and especially WrestleMania. So I would have and probably actually back to back, to be honest, if I'm booking it and it's a triple threat for the WWE and it's a one-on-one for the Universal, I probably have the Universal title more than likely the last one, WWE title right before that. That way there's not really a ton of fatigue, and I would not have this match as close to those. I'd probably have a women's and a tag match. I would have AJ Nakamura women's tag, and then I would have the WWE title matches.
Do you think by then, Roger, that the people are going to be booing because they are like, this match stinks, referring to wherever Roman Reigns is wrestling and also Triple H?
If Roman's wrestling Undertaker, I'd think people would just be cheering for Undertaker to tombstone his head off. I actually, and I'm not necessarily saying that they will do this, but I'm saying they should do this. There's no argument in my mind that the Universal Championship match should not be the main event, because the Royal Rumble win should mean something. Randy Orton earned the right to be in the main event. That means his show, his championship that he's challenging for, should be the final match. And if Brock Lesnar is going to beat Goldberg, like we all suspect, he's a heel. So he should not. And he also popped, like, you know, he didn't have the greatest summer, shall we say. He popped for, you know, whatever steroid he's got suspended for. I don't necessarily know that you want him standing tall at the end of WrestleMania. Like, maybe you should have somebody like Bray Wyatt or Rand. I mean, I'm not that Orton is the poster boy either, but, you know, I think Brock Goldberg should be in the middle. And I think Orton, Wyatt, Harper needs to be your main event if that's going to be what you're doing. I mean, that card construction-wise, if AJ Nakamura were to happen, I don't know if you can hide it anywhere where the rest of the card isn't going to be overshadowed, right? I mean, there's just only so much that you can do. If you put it at the first match, we're going to be so exhausted and worn out that everybody else would look bad. If you put it last, everyone's going to really only just be looking forward to that match at a certain point.
Oh, I forgot. But remember, there's the rumored John Cena versus Miz match with the girls, the valets in there, too.
Mixed tag.
So, the mixed tag match. So we have that one because Cena has to have a match. He does.
Right.
And so if that's the case, unfortunately, I think that AJ is probably going to get relegated to the IC title. I mean, that's the way it feels to me anyway.
For all the matches that they have.
Is this champion?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say, for all the matches that they have even rumored or even thought about, WrestleMania really seems like it's going to be an 8-hour show.
Yeah.
God.
Well, you know, the one thing also is that you have your 205 guys. They're going to get a match, which they're probably going to push to the pre-show.
I was going
to
say pre-show.
You'll have your Andre the Giant Battle Royale also on the pre-show most likely as well. And then you'll probably have, I would say, a mix or a women's match, like a tag match as well on that pre-show. So they're going to have three right there. And there's all, you know, I've seen things where people have speculated that they're going to have certain things live throughout the day. I remember when the network first came out, if I'm correct, they actually would cut to WrestleMania like at 5 minutes till the hour. They would have you'd have a 5-minute segment, which I thought was pretty cool. But I wouldn't be surprised they do something all day now, the way it sounds.
Well, and you know, just real quick as a rundown, Goldberg Lesnar is guaranteed. We have obviously the WWE title, so Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, let's say Luke Harper, we'll just throw that in there. Seth Rollins, Triple H is maybe if Seth is okay. Taker, Roman, maybe. Roman will be in a match though. And then you have the Raw women's title. Obviously, it's a four-way that they're talking about. The John Cena, Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maryse. Big Show versus Shaq. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So there's those. I mean, those are matches, and that's what, 8-9, right? That we're talking about.
That's 8. Plus, you have the 205 guys. They're going to wrestle as well.
Well, you know what? I don't think that they will. I don't think that's a mistake.
Five. That's a mistake then.
I think they get the ladder match. I'm going to call it right.
Somebody
what might about get Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn?
Well, that's going to be Fastlane.
Is it?
I believe that they said that is Fastlane now.
Okay.
But Samoa Joe, so maybe he's in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. In which case, he would probably win.
You know, that would be a big mistake, in my opinion.
That's a step back. Big time step back.
Or he will be in Triple H's corner. That's the other thing, too. You know, no, so he may not wrestle, but he might be a valet or something.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a special guest referee because they have not announced that. Because usually you have at least, you know, one at WrestleMania, and there's none so far. So put Samoa Joe in the mix, or you could have Seth Rollins, I don't know, whoever he picks to face Triple H, and he could be the ref or whatever.
But
or you could have the same thing with Triple H picks Samoa Joe to represent him, and it'll be Samoa Joe versus Rollins.
With Triple H as the special guest referee.
Right.
But either way, with those eight matches, WrestleMania, for the most part, I believe last year we only had 9 or so on the card. If that's the case, you know, we're probably not going to get AJ Styles in a singles match, I don't think. But
that's a huge mistake, but... Anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free template, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is, and if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 6's Off the Mark page. Click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEshop.com. All right, so we talked about this before. We are finally doing it. Fantasy draft. So, Aaron, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so just real quick, we had talked about what we would do if we constructed our own roster. So we're going to do roughly about 10 rounds for the podcast, and then we'll talk offline about some other ones since there'll probably be some back and forth with some discussion about it. But the idea here is that it's a current tenure where we have our own wrestling companies, and we can design it any way we see fit, and we can draft according to that. That does mean that anyone you draft right now, it is in their current condition. So if you decided to draft Hulk Hogan number one overall, he can't wrestle.
He's a racist.
And not the normal he can't wrestle, but the actual he literally can't, because he'll probably die if he does. And very similar, you know, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, those guys are retired. You could draft him if you wanted to, but probably a mistake. John Cena, he's part-time. Undertaker's part-time. Goldberg, Lesnar. You can draft those high, but they won't be on every show. Also, a tag team has to be a real tag team. So the New Day, which would be all three of them, you can do the Revival, which would be both of them, but somebody like Cesaro and Sheamus, because they aren't a real tag team, they're just kind of thrown together right now. Or even I would say Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, even though that they were being more of a tag team, that one still would be a little iffy. Instead, you either do Cesaro or Sheamus. Any other rules that we want to throw out there real quick?
The one rule I would say is that their alignment is of your choice. So if you want to turn somebody heel or turn somebody face, that's your own call, but you can't change their status, like Aaron alluded to. So you can't make John Cena a working 300 dates a year. He's not Dean Ambrose anymore. He's a part-timer. You get him for what you get. If you want to take Brock Lesnar, understand that you get him for WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and that's probably it. Maybe you get him at the Rumble. So other than that, I thought this was a cool idea to see how we often talk about what WWE does wrong. Well, this is our chance to construct our own roster.
And we are only drafting men, not women, right?
Everybody's on the table.
Everyone's on the table.
Everybody was on the table.
All right,
everybody's
Doug, on the table. How did we decide who was picking?
So we decided the order that we're going to pick, because we're doing pick-ems this year for wrestling pay-per-views, and we decided whoever got the most picks at the Royal Rumble would get the number one pick. That was Roger with 5. It actually worked out perfectly. Roger had 5, Andy had 4, Aaron had 3, and I had 2 right. So that is the order. It's going to be Roger, Andy, Aaron, then me, and we are doing the snake draft like any other fantasy football or sport draft. So then I will have the first pick in the second round, and then we'll snake it back up and down.
All right, so let's get right into it. Roger, who are you picking number one?
This was probably the hardest number one pick overall, but at the end of the day, I'm going to follow the when you're at the top of the draft, you take the best person available. I want the phenomenal one, the 2016 MVP, AJ Styles.
I already had it typed in.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I am going to pick Finn Balor as my number one pick.
Really? You're going to go Finn, huh?
I did not expect that. That's a shocker.
Yeah. If I'm thinking about somebody, and also too, prior injury history is a important thing. So, you got to factor that in there when you are picking somebody. I hate to do this. I really hate to do this, but to me, yes, I think the number one pick is John Cena.
I knew it.
I'm picking Cena.
Even with the part-time
even
status?
Because he's not Roman Reigns, or I'm sorry, he's not a Brock Lesnar or Goldberg part-time. Cena will be around for 6 to 9 months or so. He's not going to do the house shows, but he'll be there on the SmackDowns or, whatever show sort of thing.
All right, Doug, you're next. You get the next two picks.
I get the next two picks, and I'm going to have to go with my number one pick, my MVP for the year, and that was Nakamura.
And that time. So,
yeah. you should. Wait. I did. Honestly, I didn't think he was going to be there. I thought Aaron was going to take him or somebody else was going to take him. But then I'm bouncing right back with one of the other people that I think is one of the best wrestlers, promos, all-around package, and I'm going with Kevin Owens.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Very nice.
Yes. I'm very happy with this.
If I'm, I think you have to have good feuds, and I think, for example, Nakamura KO is a good one, because that could be your starting feud if you are running a company. I would say my starting feud, if I have a John Cena, I have to have a good antithesis to him, and right now I would probably say Seth Rollins.
Damn you.
Okay.
that's a good, that Cena Rollins have quality matches. That's not mad about that.
And since I was hoping Nakamura would still be there, I was wrong. I should have picked him first. All right, so let's. My next pick is Okada.
So he is the first non-WWE guy picked at number 7, if I'm correct.
Yes.
I think that's a good one.
That is.
I think that's a very good pick. Well, this worked out better than I anticipated. My number 2 pick is easy. I will take, in my opinion, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time and one of the best speakers in the company, along with being a very good monster heel, Samoa Joe. Him and AJ, to me, that's a WrestleMania quality match. And now, so really my next pick would have been Rollins, but of course your brother's a jerk, Andy. So I am going to go a little bit out there on the edge and take, in my opinion, the guy who's going to draw me the biggest heel heat of all time. I will take Roman Reigns.
Oh, he was somebody I was going to take. So that's good.
He is going to get me so much heat.
I was going to say,
amazing.
Since we are doing that where you can turn him heel, I would love to see a Roman Reigns heel. So that is a very good pick. Andy, with your next pick in the 3rd round.
I'm debating. I'm thinking longer, like, oh, I can get this guy 6th round. But now I'm questioning everything. If I had to pick someone, and I'm going to go out on a limb on this, I need a heel. I need a heel real bad right now. And I'm going to go with the one person who I think is the most underrated heel out there, and that is The Miz.
Ooh, that's a good
little
pick.
Surprise.
I was hoping
I think that might be a little early, but it's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a reach, but I don't think it's an unreasonable reach. Like, I think that's filling a need type reach.
It's the next 2 picks will decide if it was the right move. We'll just leave it there.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to go with something unconventional and probably too early myself. But if we're roster building, I want to get something that will add a little bit of depth to my roster. And I believe that right now, entertainment wise, the New Day are a good pick in this spot.
It is good because you get a established tag team, a stable, you get 3 people in there that you could also use in individual statuses too. Very good pick. I am, I think I've got my 2 picks right here, ready to go. Speaking of rivalries and everything like that and getting good group and chemistry together, this might be my reach, but I'm going to go with Sami Zayn.
Oh, I knew he was going to be gone. That's a good pick.
Right. With him and Nakamura being one of the best match of last year, having them on my roster and Kevin Owens all together, really good round, first 3 picks. My 4th pick, I am finally going to go out of the WWE, and I'm going with Kenny Omega.
That ruined it. I should have gone with Omega first. Hang on.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't think Omega was going to last to the 4th round. I was pretty sure he was going to be gone in the top 8 just because of the hype of the 6-star match. I thought he would go
right
sooner. So great pick, Doug. Great.
So, Doug, I actually was a little afraid you were going to take the guy I'm thinking of. And I want somebody who is going to have those really great matches with Cena and also with Rollins. And so my guy is actually Adam Cole, baby.
Baby.
All right. Since Doug took my number 4 pick, I'll go with my number 5th pick, and that is Ethan Carter III.
Another good one.
EC3. Mm-hmm. I'm getting there. You'll see what I'm going with in a moment.
No, I keep typing in Ethan Kennedy because I'm so ready for him to do that.
All right, Roger, next 2 picks. What do you got?
All right. Well, my next pick's an easy one. Since I have 2 guys who are elite wrestlers already, and I've got a guy who's going to draw me massive heel heat, now, much like Aaron went with, I want somebody who's a draw. I want a name, and I want the best in-game boss possible. I will take the Beast, Brock Lesnar. because to me, any match that he's in can be a high profile match. Right. And I think that's something that not necessarily everybody has. Now, my main event's good. So I'm going to build my next division. So with that, I take the most dominant women's champion we've had in a very long time, and I will take Charlotte Flair.
Ooh.
Wow. First woman. And I'm not to my women yet, so my next pick, and he is the number five pick, we're going to go with the one, the only, version one, Matt Hardy.
Ooh.
You're going with version one, Matt Hardy?
I'm just going with Matt Hardy.
I mean, I think if you're going Matt Hardy, you always go version one Matt Hardy.
Right. Not Broken Hardy?
Broken Hardy can happen after. That's version two.
All right. So I love tag team wrestling. And so the next one I'm going with, I need some heels to counteract the New Day. I'm going to go with the Revival.
Good tag teams going to Aaron. So now it comes to me.
Two picks, Doug. What do you got?
Two picks. Well, I'm still a big fan of this match, and I'd love to have these people in my stable. So I'm gonna go with I don't know which one to pick first, but it doesn't matter. I'm going with Ricochet and Will Ospreay.
Ooh. Getting a cruiserweight division, basically.
Thanks, Doug. I thought Ricochet would go under the radar for a while.
Oh, no.
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 So the thing is, Andy, I've always said that anybody who's got hype is never going to fall. It's like the same rule of like fantasy football, right? The guys that everyone's talking about in the draft boards, you know, someone's going to pick them early.
Yep. And here's one, Andy, that you might be thinking of, but I'm going to take him now. The Young Bucks.
Oh.
Actually, no, I wasn't thinking of him. I was thinking of the someone named Michael Elgin.
What is his name? Unbreakable? Is that his thing?
Unbreakable Michael Elgin. And when we get to it, I'll explain how I came up with these guys. That's why I'm pissed about Omega and Ricochet. You know what?
All right, Roger, you got two.
All right, this worked out as well as I wanted. Well, to stay in my women's division, I'm going to go with the boss, Sasha Banks. And I'm going to draft from NXT, Asuka.
All right, so you are building a women's division there.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Sorry, I'm trying to get all these written down, too. So, all right, so we're back to Andy in the seventh round.
I am picking ZSJ, Zach Sabre Jr.
Darn it. Ooh. I was hoping he would come back to me.
Wow. I'm actually surprised that you guys didn't go this route yet. While I would say the Wyatt family, I would like that, but because of kind of the way it is right now, I can't do that. So I'm only saying Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt is my next pick.
That is a good one too.
And then Doug, for you,
I would love to see Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins.
I get two. So I am.
You want cheeseburger and the Briscoe brothers?
Yeah. Hey, I'm actually a fan of the Briscoe brothers. I think that would be a great one. But I am going to start going into. I like that John Cena feel. So I think this is where I take Tanahashi. Mm. And for my follow-up to that, again, he had a great match at Wrestle Kingdom. I'm going to go with Naito as the follow-up to that one.
Ooh. Those two had a good match, right? It was not Naito versus Tanahashi.
Yeah. Full match.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm going to kind of continue on the path of marquee, like the big matches that you hear the names and you want to see them, even if necessarily they aren't 100% the best. And the guy that's been turned up in TNA is Bobby Lashley. I think that Bobby Lashley having matches with a John Cena, with a Bray Wyatt, those would be ones that would, those are WrestleMania caliber matches. So Bobby Lashley.
For me. I would like to see Bobby Lashley versus Lesnar.
Yes.
And then Andy, to you.
Can I just draft the entire Bullet Club?
No.
No. I got two. Dunn's got one.
And I've got AJ Styles. So no. No, you cannot.
All right. I'm gonna butcher his name. Hold on a second.
It's Rusev.
Simon Gotch. That's how you pronounce that.
I can't even get the other guy.
Titus Brand?
Nah. Kota Ibushi.
Oh, the Golden Star. That's a good one. Okay, my eighth pick is going to close out my women's division for now. I'm going to take the lovable Bayley. That's going to give me the four that I want. Now, I'm in a bit of a quandary because I didn't really think he would fall this far, but I'm going to take formerly known as Claudio Castagnoli, but I will take Cesaro.
That's a good one. I was thinking about him. Back to you, Andy.
I was debating on getting Ryback, but, you know, I'm not going to. So
much like every other wrestling company in the world?
Correct. So I'm going to go with Hideo Itami.
Not worried about the injury history?
No, not concerned, because he, you know, just happened recently. He's been injured, and before he wasn't injured that much. So I'm not too concerned about that.
All right. This is kind of tough for me. A lot of the guys I wanted have gone already. So I think...
Tony Nese.
You know, I think I need to make a bomb here. Like a glorious bomb. And so I'm going to...
Oh, no! Taking him! Why did I do it? That was a mistake on my part. Ah.
Over to you, Doug.
I wanted it. I seriously, I was looking at it. I had it circled. I was ready for it. Oh, man.
I thought I could steal him.
I thought I was going to, well, I was going to say he was my next pick. Now I've kind of got to relook at a couple names now.
Whew.
Man. Who can I take now? So I am going to go with man, this is harder now. I really wanted that one. That's right.
We can trade. I'll trade.
We can trade.
For those of you listening at home, these rosters may be composed a little bit differently when you hear part two. I plan on taking Aaron's first five draft picks, just letting you know.
I think I'm going to start getting into a tag team division, and I'm going to go with American Alpha. And for my last pick in the 10th round, DIY.
I was going to say, once you said tag team, I knew DIY was gone. They're just too good.
So
both
for mine
teams and up and coming great tag teams.
For mine, I got to take the Lunatic. I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose. Great workhorse. He's going to have really good matches with a lot of the guys that I've already picked. So Ambrose.
Little surprised he fell to the 10th round.
Yep. Me too.
Yeah.
When I saw he was still there, I was like, oh, I got to take him.
Yeah. No, I thought about it.
This is a tough one because it's going to throw because I really thought DIY was going to fall. Well, this is tough. I guess if I had to pick someone that's still there, I think I'm going to have to go with Randy Orton on this case, even though I think that was
my next pick.
That's a good one.
That was one of them that I was thinking of, too. I wanted Bobby Roode and Orton to go back to back. But once Bobby Roode went, I was like, I'm going to change gears.
Yeah, you're getting a good name at number 10, a guy who's main evented WrestleMania. It's like, you really can't.
But the thing is, I didn't want to get him because I was trying to go with guys that are fan favorites and that have worked together or I think could work really well together. That's what I've been going with. But he's the first one I'm like, ugh.
But, is he also the biggest, like physically the biggest guy on your roster right now?
Yes. He would. Well, actually, on The Miz would
EC3
be right
is
there.
Pretty big, isn't he?
I think Orton's 6'2", and I think the Miz is right there too.
Okay, but I mean, we're talking about roughly in the same size. Okay, final pick. That was, I mean, Bobby Roode and Randy Orton were my 1 and 2. So I'm actually, I was glad no one picked up on this, but I'm actually going into tag team. I'm going one half of the tag team with Cesaro, and the other half of the Kings of Wrestling. You may know him as Cassius Ohno, but I am going to call him Chris Hero.
Even with his weight issues.
Oh!
Even with his weight issues, the Kings will be running my tag team division.
DBE, man.
Because now he's in a tag team match. Now, exactly. I've got Cesaro, who's a workhorse. And Hero can still go. And I'm sure I can get him, Hero, to, you know, take a couple pills, thin it out a little bit. Maybe you can change your trunks instead of having the sloppiness. So
yes, he should wear, I call him, like, boxer briefs. That's what he should be out there. Yes. And I would almost say, throw like a, I don't know, like some type of shirt over it as well. Even if he did like what Owens does, where he has like the singlet or whatever, the wrestling gear underneath and puts a shirt over. Even if he did something like that, I'd be okay with it. But
I would absolutely have him wear what Kevin Owens wears, because to me that makes Owens look big and credible, not big and sloppy. And I think there is a difference.
But I will say Hero looked better when he actually came to the ring. I thought he looked better than what he did like 2 months ago, where he, well, look, almost as big as me. So not that big, but close. So, where he shouldn't be in his underwear when he's in there. But I like Chris Hero. That's a really good pickup. I love the death by elbow. I love all the, just the, every time he hits someone with the elbow, I think that's a great, that's like my favorite pick of anyone that's done so far. Completely out there. So we went through 10 rounds. Now, do we want to discuss our roster so far, or do we want to go ahead and just wait till the special to do that?
Just real quick, for me, I wanted to get kind of some main eventers and some tag teams. I love tag team wrestling, so that's kind of the route that I would go. And then I would fill out the later rounds with kind of the mid-card and potentially cruiserweights. That was kind of my strategy going in. What about you, Doug?
Mine was to get the big names, the big the people that are going to bring in people, but an all-around basis. I wanted to get a lot of young guys. I know I went with Nakamura and Tanahashi, who are kind of getting up there in age, but I went with a worldwide view. I'm trying to bring in a worldwide class of wrestling, really going in with, you know, you got your Americans, your Canadians, you got Japan represented, England represented. I got a lot of world wrestlers and big names, not necessarily on the WWE roster. A lot of good talent, a lot of up and coming talent. The last two picks I went with tag team because I want to have something more than just a world champion and a, you know, maybe a mid card champion. Get a little mix up in there, but I've got a lot of couple late round picks that I still see on the board that I'm looking forward to. Hopefully they don't get picked up before I can get them. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm looking forward to continuing this.
I forgot about, I just found my notes. Anyways, I will say, I think everyone had a great draft. I can't say that like someone had a really, really bad one. I think we all picked the proper people.
Well, when you have, it's kind of stacked anyway, when, and especially when there's only four people, it's going to be
right.
If we drafted poorly, it's because you don't know wrestling. Like it's like when you drafted four people. Like, I mean, you have to try to not get a stacked roster. I think, you know, that's it to be expected, but yeah, no, I think there was a lot of logic in the picks. I mean, to kind of continue what Aaron said, having the number one overall pick obviously gave me the flexibility of saying I get no matter what the guy I want, which was AJ Styles. To me, he's the modern day Shawn Michaels. And because he's such a workhorse, that gave me flexibility to get guys like Brock Lesnar, who granted are only part time, but because he gives me that in-game boss feel is that I can still have great matches while he's on the sidelines. Roman Reigns, obviously, while we hate him as a face, I would change a single thing about his booking, except that I just make him a bad guy. ta-da, I have the most hated person in the world. I was very happy he fell. Joe, great versatility. And I, you know what, to me, demographic-wise, having women's wrestlers, I think you get that entire female demographic to watch and enjoy, and you bring something very different, kind of like how Doug went international. I said, let me get the females who want to watch this. And, you know, Bayley and Charlotte and Sasha and Asuka, that fatal four-way, they would tear it up. No disrespect to Becky Lynch, but you substitute her for Asuka, and it's like, wow, that's the type of match I had no problem main eventing a pay-per-view with. No hesitation at all.
Yeah, all of us, I think, have done a great job so far. I just want to wait till we get done with the draft and explain why you picked these guys and what your plan is for your promotion. I think that would be the great thing to do. And it's almost, Aaron, what's that game we used to play back in the day?
Extreme Warfare Revenge.
That's what it is. Okay, I couldn't remember it, but I remember that we would make our own federations up. We can almost do something like that as well. Yep. Anyways, overall, I think we had a great draft. We will have a special on this in the next few weeks. So I'll make sure I tweet it out so everyone knows about it. And something you guys got to definitely check out. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and any of the podcasts. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to this show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.